An interview with Mrs. Barbara Lane on March, today's the 14th of 2005, in her home. So if you wouldn't mind starting out, maybe stating your date of birth and where you were born,
mm-hmm.
and right. a little bit about growing up or where what it was like for you to grow up.
Yes, all right. I was born September the 8th, 1924, which makes me 80. And I had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. My parents, I was an only child. My parents were very, very good and very understanding of all the things I, my ambitions and so forth, which was really for the theatre. I wanted to be an actress and also musical comedy. So I took dancing lessons and musical and dramatic courses and so forth. And when the war started, I joined an organization. I was still at school, by the way, I was 15. When the war started, I was asked to join, as they call it, quote unquote, concert party, and we entertained the troops, which was very, very amusing, entertaining for myself. My mother and father also joined. My father was in charge of the backstage activities, and my mother was looking after the costumes and so forth, and my father drove his car. We had special petrol or gas coupons given to us by the army, and the army arranged for us to go to various stations in Yorkshire only. This is where I was born, by the way. I didn't mention that. And let me think now. We did, altogether, we did 640 shows during the war. Quite a lot, yes. And then to try and do these things together with homework at school and so forth. But I had a very, very understanding headmistress, and she realized my ambition and was very cooperative. So I was let off lots of homework and so forth. She was very good. However, I finished my schooling and still continued with the shows. And then in 1944, I met my husband. He had finished his flying, his third tour of operations, flying Halifax and Lancasters in Bomber Command over Europe. And we were introduced by my ex-dancing teacher, mm-hmm. who joined the RAF and got her commission and was stationed with the Canadians up at 6th Bomber Group headquarters, where my husband was. She introduced us, and he was 24, and I was 20 by this time. We became engaged in the spring of 1945, but he wouldn't get married, as he was slated to go to the Japanese war and didn't want me to be a widow, you know, if anything should happen. So, fortunately, he was aboard about to get on board the plane to take him to Okinawa, when the war ended, mm-hmm. and so he didn't get on the plane and didn't go to Okinawa. So we made our plans to be married, and that was the December the 3rd, 1945. And by this time, he was the commanding officer of the RAF station at Odeon, which is south of London. So this is where my first experience of being an Air Force wife started. Let me see now, what else? Well, there was such as entertaining various visitors on the station, the Canadian High Commissioner, for instance, Vincent Massey, and the chief of the RAF, of RCAF, and his wife came. And I was also invited to various official functions with my husband.
And how did you, if you don't mind me asking, how did you learn how to act with the military, with serving teas and so on?
I don't know. It just came naturally, perhaps. You know, I was already sort of experienced in things with my mother and the entertaining with my mother and father at home with friends. So I sort of learned quite easily and so forth. And my husband was a great help too. So at the end of May, my husband was posted back to Canada. And he arrived in Halifax a week ahead of me, and he waited there, staying with Air Force friends. The trip wasn't very pleasant for me as a war bride on the ship, I can tell you. It was not very nice at all. So I was very pleased when he waited for me in Halifax. And then we stayed overnight there with his friends before boarding the train to Vancouver. And what a long journey that was. I'll never forget it. My goodness me. The food was wonderful, as you can imagine, all the rationing after being in England. And it was a very enjoyable trip all the way across, but I thought we must have gone around the world by then. My husband's parents and his sister met us in Vancouver, and then we took the ferry to Victoria, where he was born, by the way. He was born and raised here. Yes, yes. His mother was a war bride in the First World War, so she understood how I felt about going to a different country.
Definitely.
After 6 weeks' leave, Reg left for Toronto to attend the staff college there. And at that time, wives were not encouraged to go, mainly because of the lack of accommodation. You know, right after the war, it was very difficult. And at that time, the course was very strenuous. It was boiled down to 6 months instead of a year, so they had to work very hard. So I stayed with my in-laws in Victoria, who were very nice to me, but at the same time, I was terribly homesick. And just to be left here, not knowing people very well, it was a little difficult. However, I muddled through, and it was fine. And also by this time, I was pregnant and not feeling very well either, by the way. In March, Red was posted to Ottawa, and I flew from Victoria to Ottawa with our small daughter, Susan.
So you had your first child without your husband?
Yes. Oh, yes. That's right.
Back
yes.
East. Was
yes.
that difficult for you, for your first child?
Yes, it was. It was very difficult, I can tell you.
Being away.
Yes.
Being away from your family.
And everything, and yes. And I was an only child as well, by the way. I didn't mention that. So they were, well... Fortunately, they were very fond of my husband, and they took the whole situation very well. So, what happened now? We arrived with my daughter Susan, and he'd even bought a house and furniture all ready for me, but not exactly what I would have chosen. But I was happy to be with him to start real life in Canada. We had many Air Force friends, and we still see some of them to this day. A great, great long friendship we had. Mm-hmm. And there in Ottawa, our second daughter, Deborah, was born in 1948.
Was that an easier experience since you had your husband with you?
And oh, yes.
A little bit more support?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. It was much, much easier. Much easier. Yes, it was. In 1950, we moved to Edmonton, where my husband was the CEO of the station. There again, it's a lot of sort of protocol, you know, people visiting the CEO's wife and entertaining and so forth. But by this time, I was quite happy with it, quite used to it. Let me think now. A lot of entertaining and being entertained by the officers and wives on the base and the people of Edmonton. They were very, very friendly, the usual Western hospitality, you know, that you hear about. That lasted until 1952. We left Edmonton and back to Ottawa, where we spent most of our time during his career. With our three children, by that time we had a son, John. He was born in Edmonton, so 2 years apart for all of them. These are just rough notes I've got here.
Great.
This time in Ottawa, we rented a house, as the posting was only to be for 2 years. We knew about this beforehand. The highlight being that Reg was an honorary aide to the Governor General, Vincent Massey. He was a wonderful man. He was very friendly and a very fatherly type of man. He was so nice. He was a widower. And I attended a lot of the functions at Government House with my husband and met many interesting people, such as the Kennedys, Princess Margaret, and the Queen Mother. And she was really, really charming. There was one little anecdote. One evening after the reception for her, the aides and their wives, as we always did, went into a special room where we had a nightcap before going home. And there was a knock on the door. It was the Queen Mother. And she asked if she could come in and join us. And she sat down and chatted and had her gin and tonic. And oh, it was so nice to be with her. She really was. She was a lovely, lovely lady. Reg's next posting after that was to attend the Imperial Defence College in London, which was very nice for me to go back to England for a while. By this time, he had been promoted to an Air Commodore. My parents found a house for us in Wimbledon, not far from London. We were fortunate to be able to travel aboard the Queen Elizabeth to go to England from New York. That was a wonderful year there, and the children enjoyed. They went to a small private school and came home with a tremendous English accent. It was amazing. The time went very quickly there, and after a year, we were sent back to Ottawa again. Reg, an honorary aide to the Governor General again. We bought a house in Ottawa, again, very busy with various functions at Government House. Stayed in Ottawa until 1961, when Reg was posted to Trenton as Air Officer Commanding of Transport Command. This meant a lot of traveling for him. He was away an awful lot during this time, but I knew the Air Force well enough and I was able to cope with it, yes. Mm-hmm. And the children were older, so it was much easier for me. Wives were not allowed to fly at that time, and whenever he had an invitation to go to some function in a place not too far away, such as Toronto or Ottawa, I went along, but I had to drive. He flew and I drove, which, you know, wouldn't have cost the public any more, just one passenger going on, no food or anything to be served. But however, that was the way it was. Then in 1964 in Trenton, David, our fourth child, was born. Then we left Trenton for Metz, France, in 1965. We spent 1 year there. I wasn't really sorry to leave. I didn't find the people in the Metz area very friendly at all. And I really wasn't too happy there. But we went to Germany because de Gaulle stepped out of NATO, and all the countries, of course, had to move. And my husband hunted around and found La, which was a beautiful, beautiful little town or village, the town, I suppose. Reg was promoted by this time to Air Vice Marshal.
Lars in Germany, correct?
Yes, in the Black Forest area.
How did you find the people there?
Oh, so entirely different from Metz. They were really, really friendly. Well, for instance, let me see now, where have I got my notes? he found the French base at La. The French were there. They'd taken over after the war. And so they were about to leave, of course, as NATO was out of the business. So Reg was very busy changing and taking over the French mess and all the housing and so forth for the Canadians to move in. And, I'd never forget that. The houses were so dirty and full of cockroaches. It was terrible. Including the house that we had, which was the French general's house. And it was a lovely house, but full of cockroaches. It was terrible. It was a very grand house and very palatial, very nice. One of my German neighbors sent me flowers of welcome, which was very nice of her. And so I went over to thank her. Didn't know what I could say apart from Dankeschön. But she spoke English fluently. She had been to school in England.
Oh, wow.
And so she said, I must teach you to learn German. You will enjoy it much more if you can speak the language. So she organized teas and so forth with her friends, and they taught me to speak just sort of casual German language for shopping and casual chatter. Yes, it was. It was very nice. I found the Germans extremely, extremely friendly. They were more like us somehow.
Right.
It's very different from being in Metz. So we became very good friends, and unfortunately she died, but I was very fond of her. She was a very lovely lady. Again, very, very busy socially, both with the civilians and the NATO circles. We had to travel all around Germany to attend some of the German or NATO conferences and balls and that sort of thing.
And this is the time of sort of when the wall's going up and so on.
Yes.
The Iron Curtain's coming down.
That's right.
What was that? Did you?
No, we didn't have anything.
Did you register at all?
Or? No. No, no, and my husband wasn't allowed to go across the other side.
You didn't find the people reacting to it at all, or there was no in the atmosphere. It wasn't seem like people were taking notice of it. I mean,
I didn't notice it myself. No, okay. No, there might have been, but I didn't notice right. that at all. Yes, we were only there for 2 years, and I was very sorry. I think I could say that was the best posting we had was in Germany. It was really, really very, very nice. And we did a lot of traveling to Italy and Sardinia and various places. It was really, really nice. And then we had to leave, and our next posting was to Montreal, where Reg was... he was the deputy commander of Mobile Command, which, of course, is Army. Mm-hmm. And by this time, the rank structure had changed, and instead of Air Vice Marshal, he was a Major General. You know, they changed them at that time. Our house in Montreal was the deputy commander's house, provided by the Army, an old Army house. It was centrally located in Westmount. Do you know Montreal
no,
at all?
No.
It's a nice area, mostly English-speaking people in that area. It was an old character house, which was very charming. And during our stay there was the FLQ crisis.
Oh, wow.
You know about that, yes. That was quite frightening at times. It really was. We heard the bombs going off and so forth. And Mr. Cross, of course, was the British in the... British High Commissioner office of some sort, I think. He was kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And then we had, what was his name? Cross. Yes, Cross. And then the other man who was killed, the Quebec minister, mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. He was killed. So my husband had to drive with his driver and carry a revolver wherever he went. We had a guard outside the house, and every time I went out shopping or whatever, the guard searched my car to make sure that something hadn't been planted underneath or wherever. You know,
that must have been very tense.
Yes, it was.
What about your children?
My little boy, I took him to school each day, but our son, who is attending McGill University, was searched every time he came home with his school bags. They made sure that there was nothing planted in his school bags. So that was quite an experience, quite frightening, really. But we enjoyed it just the same. Montreal's a great city.
Right.
We enjoyed it. Then in 1972, we left Montreal to go to Colorado Springs, where Reg was made the Deputy Commander-in-Chief of NORAD, with the rank of promoted again to Lieutenant General. He was extremely busy there, as you can imagine, in NORAD, in the mountain, Cheyenne Mountain. And but I was able to go by this time. I was able to fly with him to various places where he went. So it was most enjoyable. The people in Colorado Springs were also very, very friendly and hospitable, and lots of parties and things, you know. I don't think I could have taken more than 2 years there. And that's where he retired.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that was the end of his military
career? Yes, of his Air Force career. So he did very well. He joined the Air Force when he was 20. He spent his 21st birthday on the prairies. And I met him when he was 24, as I said, and he was a group captain then. He was the youngest group captain in the Canadian Air Force. And he retired as a lieutenant general, so he did very well. Yes, but he's a wonderful man. I miss him so much. It's dreadful being without him. It really is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I can tell you, dear, about
well,
about.
Some questions more to do with military life.
Yes.
Especially being, I assume your, what did you say? No, his mother was a war bride. Your family wasn't involved in the military at all.
No.
So you'd had no prior experience.
No.
To being within the military.
No, not at all. Apart from the shows that I did.
Right.
And I knew a lot of military and Air Force people mm-hmm. during that time, so I had an idea of what it was all about.
Did you find that there was quite a community? I know you said that you had your own experience of entertaining and knew how to do all that, but was there a community there to help you at least to tell you the things you needed to do, or was it your husband told you that there needed to be this?
Yes, he helped me a lot, yes. And his first position as CEO of Odium, which is my first experience of being an Air Force wife, mm-hmm. Of course, the rationing was pretty awful, and you couldn't really get too much in the way of food.
Mm.
So he arranged for some of the food to be sent over from the mess for entertaining, which was a great relief to me. Yes. That was our house, as a matter of fact, up there on the base at Odium.
Huh. Mm. Wow.
It was a lovely old house.
Lovely.
Beautifully furnished, too. Mm. It was very nice.
And other than that, when you moved around, did you find new communities that you sort of easily met with, or did you find you more integrated with the locals and sort of? I guess you were mostly in Ottawa, so you were
Ottawa,
Canadian.
Well, yes, we did have a lot of friends in the Air Force, but we knew a few of the local people as well. But it was mostly Air Force people with. Using the mess parties and that sort of thing, it was, then Government House, of course, was a great experience with all the functions. And Vincent Matthey, as I said, was a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. He was. It was just like a family, really.
Right.
You know, that he was so nice. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find? You said that there was some rationing at times. Or that you went through rationing with your husband. What about wage that your husband made in the later years, maybe in the 50s and the 60s? Was it difficult for you to at all make ends meet, or was it never an issue for you? You always
goodness me, going back all that time.
That's something you think of today.
I know that when we first went to Ottawa, when I flew, as I said, from Victoria to Ottawa. I left Victoria at this time of the year when the spring and the flowers were out, mm-hmm. and I arrived in Ottawa and the snow was up to here. It was, oh dear me, I was quite in shock for a while. Yes, those were difficult times then because we were trying to adjust to the pay and I remember we were splurging and inviting his boss for dinner one night. And I went out and got filet mignon for the four of us. And just before they arrived, I had the filets on the side on the counter in the kitchen, and I was sort of seasoning them and so forth. And my husband came in and he said, "This fork, I think, needs to be dipped in the silver dip." So he dipped it in the silver dip, and it flew all over the steaks.
Oh.
Oh, dear me, that was quite a scramble to wash them off quickly because I couldn't go out and buy more steaks. But it was all right, turned all right. But no, it wasn't too bad. We managed to adjust. And then as the years went on, we were even better, of course, because the pay was better, and it was very good. And in France and Germany, we did have help as well, provided by the government, the housekeeper, and it was very nice. And he had a driver too, which he was a sergeant in the Air Force, and it was like our own family. We really got along very well together, but. By this time, we didn't worry too much about the money situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So your husband wasn't really stationed away from you for very long, like he wasn't away much? Maybe time periods where he was?
Well, the longest time, of course, was when he was at Staff College for 6 months,
right.
And I was here. But he did go away an awful lot. He had to travel around the world with Air Transport Command, because they had bases all around, mm-hmm. and I was left at Trenton at that time, because this was strictly business as far as he was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't go on any of those trips. He went around the world also with the Prime Minister Pearson,
mm-hmm.
and that took a long, that was more about 5 or 6 weeks, I suppose. But normally the trips he made from Trenton were no more than a month, but he did a lot,
right.
of traveling,
right.
then.
Was the separation difficult for you?
Well, yes, it was, but, you know, you had to get used to it.
Right.
You couldn't do anything about it,
right.
and just made the most of it.
Right, you accepted it as part of
yes.
his life.
That's right, yes. Oh, no, there was no question that I would leave or go back home or anything like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was quite happy the way I was.
How did your children find it? Did they notice their father being away?
Yes, they did, but it didn't bother them either. They were always very good. We were always very close, and had a lot of fun together. And no, it was fine. I remember when we were in Ottawa also, the skiing there, and all the children skied, all the three anyway,
mm-hmm.
didn't have four at that time. And he would take them up to the ski areas and take all his work up there, because he was very, very busy with headquarters. And he would take his work up, all his book work, and the children went off skiing in the mountains, and he was waiting there for them down below. But no, we were very close family, and
that seems to be what makes the difference.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I couldn't have managed without them now. They're always phoning me or coming to see me. We only have one son here, the one I told you about, is coming for lunch. And the rest of them are in, our second daughter is in Winnipeg. Susan, the one who was born here, lives in Brighton, which is near Trenton when we lived there. And our older son lives in the Laurentians, in the ski area in Quebec.
Mm.
But they phone me constantly and come and see me. And of course, they were all here when my husband had his heart attack.
Mm.
So they've always been very supportive and really mm. wonderful.
Mm. How did your children find the moving around? Did you notice?
No, they didn't mind.
They didn't mind?
No, they didn't. Excuse me a moment.
All right, I think
okay.
I've almost gotten through most of the questions I want to ask. You seem to answer a lot of them already. But one question I've been asking everybody is sort of with the moving around, and you don't have maybe a set home like someone who lives in the same place continuously, does your conception of home change, or do you see it just as being where your family is?
Where the family is, definitely,
yeah.
Yes. No, you actually, it's quite a challenge, and I didn't mind having to move. It was, as I said, a challenge, and different scenery and so forth, and invariably we knew people wherever we were going, especially Air Force people,
mm-hmm.
and so we have a sort of great camaraderie, really, I suppose you would say, with the rest of our friends in the Air Force. And the children didn't seem to mind. It didn't affect them either. So, no, it was quite happy to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't know what else I can say about it, but...
Well, as I said, I think I've gone through most of what I wanted to ask, because you went over it, most of what you said to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like just to thank you for doing this for me. It's very helpful.
Very welcome, dear. It's brought back a lot of memories for me.
Oh, good. Well...